know what to do. We're lost. We don't know where to go, what to do. I ran out of options. The family members give you the stories. You try and search for a God, and you don't know what's real, what's right, what's wrong. And just like in Egypt, he heard the cries of his people, heard my voice. And I was reminded last night when I was sitting over there eating that bit of parsley. He's the reason I'm here today. And I'm like, mush. And how many times throughout the 20 years I made mistakes and feel like because we did something, we got ourselves where we are in certain places, job, business, places, things. But it's the very breath that I breathe that I wake up in the morning. If it wasn't for him, how can we dare say that we did anything? The very character and the persons that we are. And I'm very thankful that he would still keep me after the things that I've done and said in the past. His discipline, his correction, his hand continually on us every time. And each year, now knowing the truth, we learn more and more. Who would have known the number 4? I didn't see it. I've been digging all week long. I've been digging all week long, reading and praying, repenting, and seeking him. And the more you dig, the more questions you have, the more answers you get, the more you dig. And it's like I could live another 40, 50 more years, live to my 80s, 90s, whatever. It's like you just started. He's unsearchable. He's incredible like that. How could we ever believe there was a stopping point, that we could just have this born-again ticket and just sit still and not learn anything else? Being so deceived. Last night, Pastor ended in Isaiah 55, and it caught my attention about how his word will go forth and it won't return void. And I wanted to back up a little bit more and reflect on Isaiah 55, 1 through 13. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor which satisfies not?" You learn as you grow in Christ. You learn when you're growing in the Lord that everything else is temporal. It doesn't last. It doesn't ever satisfy you. You can have all the money. You can have the greatest time of your life going Disney World, whatever. It's fun for a little while, but all comes to an end. But guess who's always there? The creator of the heavens, the earth. You know, he said in Job that he holds the storehouses of the snow and hail for the future. You know, Brother Scott brought that to my attention. When you read in Revelations, they got some stuff that's going to happen in the future. He's got that storehouse of hell ready for stuff that's going to happen for the wicked. You don't see that at first. You just think, oh, wow, he's got this stored up and it's never ending. Who cares if all the animals get annihilated off the earth? He can recreate them again. That's who he is. But he brought that to my attention. He's got all that in the storehouse. And he says, I got it all ready for that time. And I'm going to use it. Behold, I have given him, it says, satisfy not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting, talked about covenant last night. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies, of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of Yahweh the Elohim, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man in his thoughts. Listen to what he says about the wicked, even the wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh. He don't want none to perish. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to Yahweh for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So his word will go forth and accomplish that which pleases him. There's a path for the godly. Those who obey him and follow his path, his rules, his commandments, he says it over and over and over, and his appointed times and his feast days. And there's a path for the wicked and the ungodly who disobey him and follows after their own way. So here we are in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're on God's calendar when Yahweh's appointed feast. And our Master Yeshua celebrated these feasts, and he is our Passover. And Yahweh in his mercy had the Israelites sacrifice their firstborn lamb. We talked about that last night. I didn't really think about it in that depth that each one of them had a lamb. But it could have been the other way around. Each one could have been their own son, their firstborn. They would have had to sacrifice. As much of a heartbreaker, right? I'm sensitive when it comes to animals, my cats, my dogs. I raise up my own little lamb. That'd be the one I love a lot. I have to sacrifice my little lamb. But what about your son? Could you do that? That'd be a difficult thing. So the father says, you know what? I'll do it. I'll send my son. And he's going to pay the price for you. And that's what he did. He put his son in that place for our sins. For what our forefathers did that's carried on to us. To give us a brand new start. That's what grace is. To give us a brand new start. To start over. And to die to Egypt. To die to the old way. To sinful nature. And put on righteousness. To obey his word and put on righteousness. Because there is a kingdom coming. And that's what we're here for. This is what we're celebrating this for. Because he's trying to lead us to a kingdom that's going to be in righteousness. All the wicked is going to be uprooted. Scriptures come into play. 1,000 shall follow your side, 10,000 at your right. To keep you from the snares of the fowler. And all those things he's talking about, that's true. That's realistic. It probably happens in our time today. We just don't see it. How many times we might have been on a highway and somebody could have wiped us out. And something was just blocked. Put us the right place, right time. Sickness didn't take us out to our death today. It was bad for a little while, but we're still here today. You don't ever know. Just stay walking out of this path, and those things will be in our favor. He'll overshadow us underneath his wings. So that wedding day is coming. He's just trying to prepare us for that, to get us right. Because remember, Yeshua, he followed all the rules. He obeyed all the commandments. Therefore, death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Let it go. So in the same way, if we keep putting on righteousness, all the Beatitudes, poor in spirit, mourn, meek, all of these, we keep doing these over and over throughout the year. Unleavened bread. We take this time for these next 7 days and think about maybe a habit. We talked about that last night. Maybe a habit of something that we're still dealing with. Those shackles of Egypt trying to hold us down to something that we know is not right. Way we act, the way we talk, maybe something that we're doing. Our agendas are not on God's agendas. It's on our own, kind of not wanting to let go of some things, afraid, you know, because after all, he says, I want to be your provider. I want to provide for you. I don't want men to provide. I want you to trust that I'm going to trust, to trust that I'm going to provide for you. And so that's what he's trying to get us to let go of all the leaven, let go of all the things that hinder us, anxieties, fretting. All those things wouldn't come if we wasn't trying to be in control of it. We're all trying to be in control. And we just got to have that security that's going to take care of it. He's going to be our provider. And little by little, we let go of the shackles of Egypt, and it gets easier. And you just trust that, hey, it's today. Don't boast about tomorrow. Today has enough of its own. Yesterday is gone. You can't bring it back. We got today. Today. And so, and going into Exodus 13:1, just going to kind of go over on Passover a little bit, the unleavened bread. Exodus 13, starting with verse 1. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both a man and a beast, is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of the hand of Yahweh brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. It shall be when Yahweh shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and the 7th day shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which Yahweh did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thy eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in thy mouth. For the strong hand hath Yahweh brought thee out of Egypt. So Egypt, as we learned last night, is the carnal, sinful, the knowledge of good and evil, the habits we came out of in a sinful life that was leading us to eternal death, right? Apart from Yahweh and his kingdom. 10 plagues reminded us last night of the Egyptian bondages. Sinful habits we may have that still maybe hinders our spiritual walk. And I talked about that. We may have things right now that, you know, hinders our spiritual walk. I mean, we came out of a lot of bondage of paganism. We were serving God with all our heart with paganism. We didn't even know it. We're like, why this isn't happening in my life? Why isn't it that happening in my life? Because we're being hindered. He knew it, but we didn't know it. And he kept gracing us. Kept gracing us and just led us to where we are today. And I'm just so thankful for that. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance, in verse 10, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year. And it shall be when Yahweh shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee and thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Yahweh all that opens the matrix. Matrix is womb. Look that word up. It's the womb. Giving birth is womb. Thou shalt set apart unto Yahweh all that opens the womb, the firstborn. Every firstling that comes out of a beast which thou hast, the male, shall be Yahweh's. And every firstling of a donkey thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. If thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children thou shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son ask thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of Yahweh, he brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I wrote this as a little note. We must teach our children, for they have been born in sin also, and it would be a travesty if we don't give them a chance to learn his ways. We might as well throw them into a pit of vipers or a den of wolves, for Satan and the world's deception will rip them apart after their minds have been shaped to conform to it. And that's how it happened. The other day, went to the Whole Foods store, and prior to that, me and my wife had a disagreement. It wasn't a hot and heavy get out of hand, but it was just a little fuss. And so we got there at the Whole Foods store, and Casey, she just come unglued about something. She lost it, wasn't getting through. There was nothing you could say. Head down, just you could just see that nature. You could see it. And I'm like, if I yell, if I fuss, it's not going to do no good. And it dawned on me. Our children take upon the habits of the forefathers. So I opened up the door and I went to the back. You could ask her. I said, hey, Casey, you're having a breakdown right now. Let daddy help you. First of all, mom and dad, we're sorry. We got to deal with the sinful nature. And it's wrong for what we do in front of you. And it's not right to fuss you for something that we do. We see it into you. You just reflecting it out of you and you letting it out. So I ask you and mom to forgive us. And now I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to ask you, look, you got to learn to control this thing. Mom and dad got to learn to control it. And you got to learn to control it too, all right? He said, okay. So I said, Father, we ask you to forgive us. I ask you to give Casey the strength that she grows to override the sinful nature. I just thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. And it was fine. But we got to teach them that they're going to deal with it like we deal with it every day. We got to let them know, hey, I know you're dealing with it, but I'm going to help you deal with it. Same thing God did with Cain. He gave him a chance. He gave Abel a chance. He gives us all a chance. So, and then we're teaching them the feast days, teaching them Passover, how to put on the doorpost and everything. And so yesterday, I think it was yesterday, or today maybe. It's been both days. She'd been singing, and she wrote a song. My sister wrote a song. Kimberly wrote a song. So she wrote a song. And so I'm like, okay, this is a kiddie song. You know, I'm just going to go along with it. She wrote this song and she sang it, and it's word for word what we're teaching and learning and everything. I'm like, they're catching it. That's more greater than anything you could ever ask for. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And so I said, you're going to be like your sister. We're going to keep doing this. You're going to be like your sister. You're going to grow and do what Yahweh says. So I see those fruits pop up. It's incredible. So we need to teach them. Teach them, and we need to portray it at home. In verse 15, it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go that Yahweh slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrificed to Yahweh all that opened the matrix, the womb, being males, but all the firstborn of thy children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand and for the frontlet between thine eyes. For by strength of hand of Yahweh brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that Elohim led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For Elohim said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. He didn't want to leave no escape routes. He had to leave it. They have no way out. This is it. They're going to have to bury it and leave it behind. But Elohim led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones. I don't know how in the world people don't get this. Why in the world would you take Joseph's bones as if he's in heaven? It doesn't make any sense to me, but I just had to throw that in there. Why would you take the bones of Joseph if he's already in heaven? Don't make no sense to me. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And in Leviticus chapter 23, 4 through 8, these are the feast days of Yahweh, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is Yahweh's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread, and the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. You know, I was thinking about this today when it says, thou shalt do no civil work therein. And I'm just so thankful. I didn't take any. I wasn't even offered any fishing trips. But I was out there, I'm like, hey, cutting my grass ain't no civil work. I'm not making no money to cut my grass. I'm going to cut my grass today, and I put them earplugs in, and I'm not lying. I wept and I cried all day on that lawnmower, cutting the grass, worshiping the Father, thanking Yeshua for what he did. I had a great time of worship with the Father today. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh 7 days. And the 7 days is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no civil work therein. You know, following and obeying God's instructions is so crucial. The Beatitudes given by our Master, our King Yeshua. You know, when I write these down, this is what I say when I'm in my prayers and I'm talking to the Father. This is what I say. Number one, poor in spirit. I cannot bring myself back from the dead, I tell him. I can't bring myself back from the dead. I cannot be my own God. God is my life source. Without him, I realize I'm nothing but dust without you. That's what I tell him every day. I say, Father, I didn't make me. I can't bring me back from the dead. Only you can. And if I'm in the wrong place, I don't want to end up there. But that's why I'm poor in spirit. I need you today. Number two, mourn. Repentance of sin, of corrupted mind, from the leaven. Any iniquity found in me, let it not... You know that song's 119, when you go through that, let not sin have dominion over me. That's why I mourn over these things. Any habits that I have, please help me overcome them, override them with your word and make right habits. Let there be no iniquity found in me. Let it not have dominion over me. We weep for strength to not let it have power over us. But let his word be alive in me, self-controlling it by my acts of obedience, to override it with his word, his laws, his way, not mine, like our Master did. Not my will, not my way, but yours be done in my life. And number three, meekness. We become meek because we shape our minds every day in obedience, which bears fruits of righteousness. Be holy as he is holy. Meekness is a bridled mind to righteousness. Acts of obedience, getting the leaven out, will shape our minds into righteousness. So these next 7 days, I'm sure we're going to be going to people's houses, right? Are we going to do that this year? I don't know. If we go to people's houses, let's talk about the word. Let's talk about things that we're dealing with. Let's get the leaven out. That's 7 days, even if we're at home by ourselves. Last couple of days, I'm telling you, I've been digging and digging. And the more you dig, it's like the more the shield just comes around. It's like nothing could touch you. It's incredible. And you get closer and closer and find out what he's like, what he dislikes, what he does, what he doesn't. You just get closer and closer to God the more you dig. So we got to dig and dig and dig and get rid of the unleavened bread and the unleavenedness in our lives. Number four, then we hunger and thirst for more righteousness, right? It's the only way back from the grave and death, and that's why we follow the instructions of our Master Yeshua. He's the only one to conquer the grave. He's the first fruits of those who sleep to be raised back from the dead, right? So if we want to conquer the grave, we got somebody that did it. And the way we got to do it, he says, get the leaven out. Get rid of the sin. Start acting like the Father. Do as he does. Obey his laws. Obey his commandments. Be holy as he is holy. For in his kingdom, there's not going to be any unrighteousness and wickedness found in it at all. Four, then we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's why we follow his instructions. The only one to conquer the grave. He's the first fruits of those who sleep to be raised back from the dead. He paid the price for us so we can be redeemed through his blood and follow his pattern. And this is the pattern he followed and teaches us today. And that's why we're learning so much, the words of Jesus. I don't know if it's helping y'all out, but it's helping me out a lot. I mean, if you go back to 1 and 2 Kings, I've been digging in there a lot. And them kings could never get it right. A bunch of them. There's a bunch of them that did some incredible things and still they still went back on things. But are you sure? He didn't submit to none of it. We got a king, and I'm telling you. You think Jehu was something whenever he went and wiped out all them people that the guy told him, he did it to a T? He ain't seen nothing yet till you see an incredible king like our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. But like me and Brother Herman was talking yesterday, is it exciting to see that all those people die? I don't think it excited God at all to see all those people die. He didn't want them to die. Not at all. Not at all. They shouldn't have died. But because of one man corrupting everything and not listening, being obedient, even in Saul's case, his sons and so many people died because of his act of greed and wanting to hold on to things and have it his way and be exalted in front of all the people. He wanted to have it his way. And leads a lot of people astray. Exodus 12, 15 and 16. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. We got to make sure. We got to check. You know what's incredible about this time of the year? I like, you know, all year, we're full of sin. Not one of us doesn't have sin. The Bible says that. It says there's none that doesn't have sin. We all have sin. So we could be on our best days and try to be de-leavened the whole year, but you're going to make a mistake somewhere. There's no doubt about it. We're going to make mistakes. But this is an awesome time right now to just stay in it. Dig in it. Try and stay as obedient and recognize certain things. Because, hey, I remember there was a time I was going through the whole year for a while, and I thought I was clean. I thought I was good until it was brought to my attention, hey, you got something you're doing wrong right here. You can't do that. You can't act like that. I'm like, where? I don't see that. And we might have something on us during this time of unleavened bread that we might not see it. And then all of a sudden, maybe we might see it through prayer and asking and repenting. If there's something I don't see, if there's something I don't see, maybe have somebody else bring it to my attention. And I want to be sorry and repent of it because I couldn't see. I was blind to it. And it brought it to my attention. And still, 3 days I stayed on my knees crying and asking for God to intervene for me on them because they in the wrong, not me. Until I finally can see, I'm like, that's where I went wrong. I believe that one little lie, let that one little seed that, you see, just a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. And you'll be in the wrong direction so fast your head won't have a time to spin. All it takes is one little lie about so-and-so, a little gossip, he's fought her, fought this, that, and you're out the door, and there's something wrong with the pastor, the people, the church, something wrong with all of them. And you take sides and take people with you. That's not a good thing. We just keep praying for those, and I'm thankful somebody was praying for me when I was lost in that manipulation through the lies of the enemy. Leaven in the Hebrew, we learned that a couple years ago. I like picking up on this again. Leaven in the Hebrew is seor, to leave or remain behind. We're going to leave it behind. Leaven in its biblical form is yeast. Pastor talked about that, which is a living organism that creates a high state of corruption in the bread. Yeast that caused the bread to rise. We talked about that. So the leaven, corruption, sin that leads to death, started in the garden in disobedience to the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to be self-dependent, to be our own God, in which the whole human race suffers from, everyone wanting to be in charge of everything, own everything, not have enough of everything, full of pride in everything, and kill everything and everyone who doesn't give them everything and covets everything everybody else has. That's what we got to get rid of out of our lives. And it's there all the time. And we got to deal with us. I got to deal with me. And so he gives us all we need through Yeshua HaMashiach, how to take it under control, put it on the subject. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. Right? It's there. It's in the scripture. So let's make sure we don't get prideful. And that's what Pastor talked about in the message, because we get to learn all this stuff. And it wouldn't be good to go out there and start flaunting in front of other people that don't know it yet and say, look what I got. You ain't got it. Then we'll end up right back with pride again. Before you know, we'll be just like, hey, look at me. I'm beautiful. Remember Satan? I'm beautiful. Look at me. I got all the wisdom. I got all the knowledge. Be taken captive before you know it. 1 Corinthians 5:6-8 says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you're in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Galatians 5, 1 through 9. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Messiah hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's not hard to get back entangled in it again. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Messiah shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Messiah has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are, of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Yeshua Messiah neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And he told him, you did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so I got in my notes here going into Proverbs. This is the house of the wicked that versus God's tabernacle. The house of the wicked versus God's tabernacle. In Proverbs 14, 11 and 12. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end of thereof are the ways of death. So in the book of Kings, Pastor talked about, and this has been on my mind ever since. I couldn't shake it. I couldn't knock it off. Every time I turned around, I don't know if it was maybe my curiosity. Might have been my curiosity. I don't know. But I've been digging in it ever since. In the book of Kings, Pastor talked about Ahab and his repentance after killing Naboth for his little piece of land. Remember that? I remember that story before, and I thought it was a very sad story what happened to that man. He's a man of God. He was holding on to his land, not wanting to sell it because God told him not to. He was listening to the Lord, and he died for it. And, you know, we're learning to love our neighbors and our enemies because, like Pastor said last night, you know, we're not the door. Yeshua is the door. We're not the ones to go killing people. It's going to happen in the end. You see a lot of destruction. It's not going to be a nice thing. But the Father's going to take that in his hands. That's not in our hands to take up. It was a sad thing that happened to Naboth. But there's some things that happened down the line that got paid back. And so it says, you know, and so now at the end of the chapter, God says he's still going to carry out a punishment. If you read the end of that, he was going to still carry out, even after you know, Ahab repented and mourned. He said, I'm not going to do this in your day. But God says he's going to do something. He means what he says he's going to do. His word will go forth and it won't return void. That's what, you know, I kept thinking about last night when he said in Isaiah 55, his word won't return void. It will accomplish for whatever reason he sends it out. In Galatians 6, 4 through 8, but let every man prove his own work. We ain't got nobody else to hold on to for whatever we need or don't have. We're all individuals. It ain't nobody else's fault for what something happens in our life. We're our own. And he says, well, let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. It's not everybody else because I got this happening to my bills, my house, this, that, or the other. It ain't nothing to do with anybody else. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Anybody is where they are because they got them there. That's what his word says. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That'll make you think a little bit about the leaven. Because whatever we sow into our flesh, we could hide it, we could do it in secret, Nobody has to see us at church, but we're going to pay the penalty. It's going to go out. The sun, the moon, he gives everything to give off something that's going to happen. It says, aren't they a witness? The heavens and the earth are a witness. The sun, the moon strike you. The sun strike you by day. The moon strike you by night. Everything's set. It's not like God's going to all of a sudden, well, I think I'm going to strike you. When you send it out, if you don't have yourself in repentant state, it's coming back on your head full stream. And so it says, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It's not easy changing habits to God's way. But it has a joyful rejoicing, and it goes towards, look what you did with me. Look what you did. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. There's no way I'd be here 20 years later if it hadn't been for his hand upon me, his correction, his discipline. If I wouldn't be here today, it's because of my own doing and not listening. That's the only reason. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 29. Yahweh says to Elijah, have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, and I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days. Remember, he says a word, and it'll go forth. I will bring the disaster upon his house. Yahweh's word goes forth and accomplishes all he sends it out to accomplish. 2 Kings chapter 9. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. I'll pause and speak about it if the Father tells me to, but I might not even finish tonight. It might be for another time, or maybe you can go back and maybe the Spirit of the Lord can lead you just like he leads me. I ain't no different than anybody else in here. It's like Pastor said, you spend the time, it'll show. If you don't spend the time, it'll show. So, and it's going to help you grow. This will help you grow. So this week, dig deep. Dig deep, and it'll help you grow and get close to the Father. 2 Kings 9, and starting with verse 1. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil into thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus says Yahweh, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of us? And he said, to you, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus says Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of Yahweh, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets. Get this, avenge the blood. Something's coming back. It's coming back. And who's doing this? This guy didn't pick this. He didn't choose it. God said something. He didn't just make it up. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, his master. So what's me, his master? So this is a commander in an army. And who's his master? Ahab. Ahab's his king. He's his master. So this guy, Jehu, he's around all of Ahab's stuff, prophets, kings, command, whoever. He's around it all. And as you read on in here, you're going to find out, it's almost like I'm in the middle of you all, and all of a sudden a click, I turn on you all, and you have no idea I'm going to do it. It's like just a sudden moment. I had no idea what was coming. It's just a blink of an eye. And it says, I have anointed thee king over the people in the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab him that urinates against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nabat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door, and he fled. Now, I'm going to pause right here for a moment, because I read this whole story over and over, and I keep coming to God reflecting on the house of Jeroboam, like the house of Jeroboam. So my curiosity brought me to like the house of Jeroboam sin. Because later on you find it out, it's in Jehu's life that he did all these things, and his end is, but he sinned and did the things of Jeroboam. And I'm like, okay, what did this dude do? What did King Jeroboam? So I went back, and Jeroboam, I found, was promised a dynasty by God if he kept all of God's statutes and commandments. And in 1 Kings 11, 37, 38, this is what God says. I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all thy soul desires, shall be king over Israel, and it shall be if you hearken unto all my commandments, walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, then I will be with thee, build thee a sure house, as a dynasty, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto you. It's a promise by God. So I went back and I started reading. There's a dividing between King Rehoboam and King Jeroboam. Jeroboam was going to lose his spot. What one wants and does to get what one wants by appeasing the flesh. And so in 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33, then Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of his people turn again unto their sovereign, even unto Rehoboam, the king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy mighty ones, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He's turning them back to where their flesh likes to go more towards, to get them from going that way for who? For himself. He's going to lose out. Because doing things his way, and he wants it his way, he veers all the people of Israel from going towards the sovereign. That's not good. In God's eyes, it could have been for anything and everything else. But the children of Israel, to turn them back, that's not a good thing. I'm like, oh, this is why he keeps bringing up they did like Jeroboam. And so it says, the mighty ones of Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So he's telling them, hey, these gods and these mighty ones, they are the ones that brought you out of Egypt. It's kind of a mockery towards God, isn't it? That's not good. And he set one calf in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, and the others went to Dan to worship the golden calves. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that was in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered unto the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So here's the next part where Yahweh has something to say. Yahweh's anger and judgment. And you see this phrase throughout the scripture, and this is why it comes about. Yahweh wasn't too happy. He was so angered at it that this phrase comes up, to be eaten by dogs and turned to dung. That's how much he didn't want him to exist anymore. That he'd be eaten by dogs and turned to dung. Kind of think about Jezebel too. That'll be eaten by dogs. What happens? You get eaten by a dog, turn to dung, right? So, 1 Kings 14, 7 through 11, go tell Jeroboam, thus says Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, For as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people of Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and you has not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, followed me with all his heart, to do all that which was right in my eyes, but has done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other mighty ones, molten images, to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that urinates against the wall. You're going to see that again when you read it a couple times in Kings. He that urinates against the wall. And him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it all be gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for Yahweh has spoken it. I kind of think about Revelation when it says the fowls of the air and everything's going to eat up. It's all in there. You go and read it. It's a reflection of what's going to happen. So, going back to Jehu again, see how much time we have. I'm just going to, but that's where you get that from when you read that. I had to go throw that in there because I didn't know what was being brought up all the time about Jeroboam. I'm like, oh boy. So, every time it brings that up, now when you read about Jehu at the end of Jehu's. What he does, it says, and he followed after the things of Jeroboam the captain. I said, you got to be kidding me. All the incredible things that God leads you to do and see, and you go back again. It's saddening when you read the stories. You're like, you put your head down. You know, we'll watch movies. We'll get excited about movies. When you read this, this is reality. This is better than any movie. That stuff is fictional. Some of us got truth in your face when you read it, but watch it. But this is incredible when you read it. So in verse 11, going back, then Jehu came forth to the servants of his sovereign, and one said unto him, is all well? So Jehu at this time, he just gets anointed to be king in a little room all by himself with this messenger from the prophet. And he goes back and accompany all the men and soldiers. And they're all looking at him, and they say, and Jehu came forth to the servants of his sovereign, and one said unto him, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, you know, he's a madman. He says, in his communication, you know, he didn't know what he's talking about. And they said, that's false. You tell us the truth. What really happened? Tell us now. And he said, well, thus spoke he to me, saying, thus says Yahweh, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew the trumpets. What happens when you blow a trumpet? King! Ta-da! We have a king. We got a king. So just like that, the commanding officer Jehu, he's all of a sudden, he's the king. And he's going to wipe out all the house of Ahab, thus says the Lord. The commanding officer of his master Ahab, God anointed king, Jehu knows everyone. He's like the guy that is on your team, and then without a sudden notice, he turns on everyone and pulls a bunch on his side, thus says Yahweh, and begins a massacre on all the house of Ahab, thus says the Lord. And the first guy he begins with is Jehoram, son of Ahab, and that's where it begins. In verse 14, so Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all of Israel, because of Hazael, the king of Syria. But King Joram was returning to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him. And when he fought with Hazael, the king, Jehu said, if it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go tell it in Jezreel. So Jehu rode in on a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. I know there's a lot of information, but I'm going to explain this a second. And there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel. And he spied the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take a horseman and send to meet them. And let him say, is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he come not again. And then he sent out a second horseback, which came to them and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn unto me. So now we got two horsemen. We got Jehu coming with the company of all the armies. And we got another king on the other side. He's like, there's an army coming with the king. Send a watchman out there, ask him if it's at peace. So watchman goes out there. It's Jehu. Remember, all these guys on the same team. It's Jehu. Is it peace? He said, boy, you better get behind me. I'm going to kill you. And he gets on his side. And here comes another one. Is there peace? There ain't no peace today. Get behind me. And so, the next part. So Joram turned his hand. It says, and the watchman told him, saying, come even to them and come not again. And the driving, so the next part, the king, he says, look, his driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out. There's two kings, Ahaziah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth and Jezreelite, the Jezreelite. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, imagine this king all of a sudden, okay, what's the deal here? He sees Jehu. And he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. Uh-oh, we got a change of plans here. This don't sound good. And so immediately Joram turns his hands and he flees. Treachery, treason, treachery. Oh, Hosea, treachery, treachery. So he's turning around running. We got a problem here. And Joram turned his hands and fled and said, there's treachery, Hosea. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms. And the arrow went out at his heart and he sunk down in his chariot. Number one. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, here it is right here. This just goes to prove and show you that this guy Jehu just must have been in the company when they took that little guy's land. Because it says it right here. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast this king in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and you rode together after Ahab his father, Yahweh laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth. And the blood of his sons, saith Yahweh, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith Yahweh. Now therefore take and cast him in the plot of ground according to the word of Yahweh. What you measure out, you get in return. You see? And one by one. And I know it's 8 o'clock, I don't have time. There's so much in here. We can go on for another 2 more hours of all the things that Jehu did. But the most is there was a spot in there where they had, you got to remember that they all still think he's on his team because he comes into the town, let's worship Baal. And all the Baal worshipers all getting ready. We're going to worship Baal like we never worshiped Baal before. And they all getting in. Still think Jehu's on their side. All the Ahab's people worship Baal. And so they all get in there and they all gathering up. And he's got 80 soldiers on the outside. He just got finished telling them, hey, when I'm done getting them all ready, you go in there and you annihilate them, every one of them. And if you let one go, they're on your hands. You're going to die. So if you let them go, you're going to die. So they had no choice. So he got them all in there. And if there's anybody that worships Yahweh, out. Anything to do with Yahweh, out. So they all got in there. They all worshiping Baal. Send them in. wiped them all out, the whole household. Wiped them out. When you read the story, he wiped out the prophets. He wiped out everything, all his family. He didn't leave nothing. And what tells me he wiped out everything, God was pleased at the end. At the end, he says, you have done everything that my heart inquired. That's what God said. Everything I asked you to do, he didn't leave not one rock unturned. He didn't leave one rock turned. He unturned everything and destroyed it all. Everything to do with Ahab's family, just as he said, went out. And I'm like, man, this guy did everything he asked him to do. You know? And so Yeshua did everything the Father asked him to do. That was even more than this king. But when you get to the end of it, it says, and Jehu, after doing all that, and the Father even said, Yahweh said, because you did everything I asked you to do, your generations is going to have a seat on the throne of Israel, or something like that. It says in the next sentence, and then Jehu in turn and sinned, did not obey the Father's commandments or the laws, and did as Jeroboam. I said, Jeroboam? So I was like, you got to be kidding me. The golden calf, served them of the gods. He did everything he said, and see, he turned. He lost out too. So there's so much more to go in here that we don't have enough time for. So we're going to end this right here and just, you know, on Jehu was anointed by God, king, to execute all Yahweh commanded, all that was in his heart, on the judgment of Ahab's house, for the evil and wickedness that would continue throughout generations was wiped out. And Jehu still did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. But who knows, we got a king, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus has given us orders to carry out. We got a king that's given us orders to carry out. So don't forget about that. Jehu was commanded as king to carry out orders. Yeshua asked us to carry out these orders. All the Beatitudes, the feast days, unleavened bread, let's do what he asked us to do. He paid a serious price for us, so that we can start over, get a brand new start. So we can make it into the kingdom. And bring more, many, many of those who are lost out there. They don't know anything. And so, and then next comes the first fruits. Shavuot, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And the greatest day I always think about is the eighth day. Since that was brought to my attention, the eighth day. When you get to meet the creator of the heavens and the earth, who did all of this on the eighth day. We'll get to meet him face to face if we endure to the end. So let's endure to the end and finish our 7 days of feasting. I just thank the Father so much that he allowed me to even be up here. You know, it's not an easy thing coming up here speaking. You know, I'd rather somebody else talk. I even tried to pick on Pastor a little. Hey, Pastor, you got something? Nope. Whatever the Lord leads you to say. So I did the best that I heard the Father tell me to say. Does anybody have anything else they would like to reflect on? Or maybe something I said that might have not been right? Maybe Pastor can bring it up? All right. Well, I did my part. Anybody else have anything?